A high school romance with all the thrills of a secret affair.
I envision it being romantic. I envision it being like a Romeo and Juliet kind of a scenario.
Buckles under the weight of deception and dark secrets.
He had ways of manipulating you to do the things he wanted you to do.
A love affair that will end in fear, jealousy, and a dead man talking.
He made me walk at gunpoint back to the bedroom.
First thought that came to mind was possibly a murder-suicide.
The last thing that went through my mind was who was going to call my mama.
Love may be blind and marriage bliss, but divorce is murder. Old Tammy Ellis is a typical Southern girl from a good family.
Tammy Ellis was part of a close-knit family. Her parents had adopted her when she was an infant. She was very precocious, very friendly and outgoing, often made people laugh, and was just a joy to be around.
She did have a strong personality. She had a very strong personality. She wasn't afraid to let you know what she was thinking. It seemed like she didn't have a filter. If she thought it, she'd say it.
Tammy's hometown of Pearl is nestled in the suburbs of Jackson, Mississippi.
It's a working class community. Good families, good homes, good schools. When you think of a typical American town, Pearl, Mississippi is it.
It's 1988. Tammy Ellis meets a classmate at Pearl High. His name is David Gatlin.
Hey.
You got one of those for me?
Really?
Really.
I believe that Tammy was attracted to David because, number one, he was a good-looking kid, and he was a wild child. He had long hair at the time. He was kind of a bad boy.
He always knew what to say to hook you. He knew.
David is just the kind of boy that Tammy's parents want her to steer clear of.
David came from a broken home. His parents had separated. His father, I believe, was living in Georgia. His mother was living in Mississippi. If you look at his background, the family had moved around a lot.
He's an intense and impulsive young man.
At that time, he had another girlfriend, which he was angry with her. He thought she was cheating on him.
He has a flair for dramatic gestures, especially evident when he shoots himself. Just to make a point.
My understanding was that David accidentally shot himself with his mother's 25 pistol. Later, he confided in me that it had not been an accident. The way the bullet went through, he didn't do it in a manner that he meant to kill himself. And that was his way of making her feel bad. See what I do to myself when you cheat on me?
Can I touch it?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Does it hurt?
No.
Even for a bad boy like David Gatlin, it's a reckless act.
What are you doing? I can't kiss a freak like you.
Are you scared of me?
No.
Tammy's only 15, and David's 2 years older. But the romantic spark between them is immediate.
He was attracted to Tammy because she was just a bright spirit, an outgoing girl. Someone who he just immediately liked upon meeting her. It's just a young man who took a fancy with a young girl who seemed to be into him as well.
Psychotherapist Stacy Kaiser and forensic psychologist Brian Russell see a bumpy road ahead for this young couple.
For someone like Tammy, who's lived such a conservative life, this relationship is a real rush for her. It's exciting, makes her feel powerful, and it makes her feel special that a guy like him who's so good-looking and charismatic would want her.
It's an age-old frustration for good guys everywhere how girls are attracted to bad boys. But they are, and there are multiple reasons. Sometimes it's rebelliousness. There's a shock value and attention-seeking value in it.
When I look at David's behavior and how impulsive he is, It concerns me for this relationship's future, because to be in a relationship with an impulsive person puts you and the relationship at risk.
The average teenage guy who wants to spite an ex-girlfriend doesn't go out and get a firearm involved and put a hole through himself. And so the fact that that is the way that David chose to try to spite an ex-girlfriend suggests that David is a guy who takes things to the extreme, to the dangerous extreme.
Do you think anybody suspects?
Tammy and David keep their relationship a secret, knowing her parents wouldn't approve.
Shoot, no. I'm so late. Oh, they're gonna be so angry. I have to go. I'm so late.
Perhaps just as a part of teenage rebellion, she went for him.
I think he must have been sort of a romanticist to entice her. You know, girls like that.
At first, Tammy's devout, conservative parents don't suspect a thing.
Hi. Where you been?
I was at the library.
Oh. Okay.
When Tammy's mother finds out, she's not happy.
I think the parents felt like that she was too young for him, that he was a little wild for her.
He wasn't from a secure home. He wasn't rooted. For that reason, you could understand why her parents would be worried about her in a relationship with that type of an individual. He was certainly different from Tammy's family in that regard, where Tammy's family was very close-knit, very rooted in the community. He was sort of an oddball in that regard. And so I think that probably created some fear on the part of her mother when she and David became close.
What is this I just found in your pocket?
What does it look like?
You get that from that boy, David?
Tammy's mother forbids her from seeing David. But it does not deter her 15-year-old rebellious daughter.
That boy, David.
You know, whenever you tell a child, you can't do this, you make them more determined than ever.
I love him.
I don't care.
Nothing her mother says stops Tammy from doing what she wants.
The relationship only intensified because of Tammy's mother's opposition. That had she allowed the relationship to run its course, likely it would have fizzled out within a matter of months and the two would have parted. But because her mother was so adamant that the two stopped seeing each other, it only made them want to see each other even more.
Shut up.
I think they were slipping off and seeing each other anyway. She must have been pretty intent upon doing things her way.
Months go by, and Tammy shows no sign of ending her relationship with David. Her mother has had enough.
Tammy?
And decides to take drastic action. She has her daughter committed to a facility for people with behavioral problems.
A lot of times when parents were having difficulties with their children, they would send them to charter to get, you know, for 30 days to kind of get them straightened out. Make sure that, you know, they didn't have any emotional problems and that they could function in the world, whether they needed medication, things like that.
They did it more or less to keep her away from him.
I think it was more of a scare tactic than anything, just to wake her up and make her realize that she was going down the wrong path.
The fact that Tammy's parents sent her to an institution tells me that they're desperate. I see this in my practice a lot. When parents feel like they're helpless or hopeless and their kids are out of control, they will pick up their child and hand them to a professional and say, here, please fix her. And I really think that's what her parents were doing.
Her parents had the authority to prevent her from seeing David if they really wanted to do that. And so the fact that they felt that they needed to send her to inpatient hospitalization for 30 days indicates to me that there was something going on that was more alarming to them than just the fact that she was hanging out with a guy that they didn't approve of.
This whole idea of Tammy being institutionalized by her parents creates doubt about Tammy. It makes me wonder what's going on with her and what she might be capable of.
Tammy is committed for a month. She bides her time in the facility and hopes David will be waiting for her when she gets out. But David is gone.
David went into the National Guard because he felt strongly about serving his country and also because he was looking for some direction.
I thought it was an excellent idea. You know, give him some training, allow him to get his GED, allow him to learn something, to learn how to do something productive.
Tammy's mother's plan to break up the young couple succeeds, for now.
They were told that she was dating Glenn and that he was this great guy who'd just gotten out of the National Guard.
He was a little bit better at playing the game.
Tammy Ellis's mother commits her to a psychiatric hospital to break up her relationship with bad boy David Gatlin. Shortly after, David leaves town to join the military. Their relationship is over.
This is in the late 80s, early 90s. There's no Facebook. There's no cell phones. It's pretty easy to lose touch with somebody under those circumstances, and so that is what happened. They just lost touch.
After a month in the facility, Tammy gets out and starts to rebuild her life.
She finished high school and then went on to community college. She was working, going to school, leading her life, and I believe that she had aspirations to do bigger things.
But she still misses David.
She was still probably thinking about that forbidden fruit, you know. She never really got to be with him like she wanted to. She loved him.
4 years later, David leaves the National Guard and has just one thing on his mind. The young lovers rekindle their passion and pick up where they left off. But they still face an obstacle, Tammy's mother. Even though she's now an adult, Tammy is still desperate for her parents' approval.
Because of the history between David and Tammy in the past, Tammy knew that her family wouldn't approve if she was going out with him again.
So Tammy comes up with a plan.
Oh, I'm nervous.
She tells her family she has a new man in her life, a man named Glenn.
Okay, wait, let me look at you.
Okay, yep. Yeah.
They were told that she was dating Glenn and that he was this great guy who'd just gotten out of the National Guard.
They don't realize that Glenn is actually David Gatlin.
Hi, Mom.
How are you?
I'm good.
She introduced David under his middle name, Glenn. The family did not recognize him.
Glenn, mother Glenn.
Well, yeah.
Glenn just got out of the National Guard.
He had cut his hair. I mean, he'd grown up. He'd just gotten out of the National Guard, so he was very fit. It just seemed like a much more responsible young man.
I don't think, right to start with, they realized that it was the same person.
Her parents were none the wiser. He was a little bit better at playing the game.
Come in.
Come in.
Hi. Just fetching the laundry.
Tammy can hardly believe her luck. She's with the boy she's loved since high school, and her parents are happy, too.
Bye. See you later.
Bye. David was welcome in the family. Everything was going fine. So the ruse worked for a while. And then at some point, the family discovered that this young man was, in fact, the David Gatlin from high school, and everything fell apart.
I cannot believe she still hasn't figured it out. How does she not know?
What am I hearing here?
Nothing.
Well, you're Glenn, right?
No.
Obviously. You David? You get the hell out of my house, you David! Right now!
I'll see you soon, baby.
But this time, Tammy doesn't have to listen to her mother.
Get out of my room!
There wasn't anything they could do. You know, she was of age, he was of age. There's nothing they could do about it.
I'm so done living in this house. I feel so stuck. I'm 19.
In a spur of the moment decision, Tammy and David elope to Georgia, where his family lives.
I envision it being romantic. I envision it being like a Romeo and Juliet kind of a scenario where these two young people are against all odds to have a relationship. The two of them are in love and they're defying everybody by being together. They're gonna leave Pearl, Mississippi behind and forge a new destiny together where it's just the two of them against the world.
On their wedding day, Tammy is just 19 years old. David is 21.
Tammy and David are dreamers in some ways. And I think that they're hoping for a fresh start. And so they believe if they can escape the critical eye of Tammy's parents and all of the drama in their past and move to another state and get married, that they'll have a fresh start and everything's going to be okay.
When young people particularly get married, it's really important for the longevity of those relationships to have the support of a broader social network. And so the fact that we have a young couple here who is running off getting married without either family's presence does not bode well at all for the longevity of their relationship, unfortunately.
The newlyweds find a cheap apartment in Macon, Georgia. But just weeks after the move, reality sets in. They're having trouble making ends meet.
Hi. How was your day?
Terrible. I got fired again.
Again?
Yes.
David had a really hard time finding and keeping employment. He was just a restless young man who had a chip on his shoulder and wasn't going to take anything from anybody. And at the same time, he was very determined to be the man of the family, that his wife wasn't going to work, that he was going to be the breadwinner.
David?
Yeah.
I'm going to get
No, you're job. Not.
But we cannot afford this.
It was incredibly stressful. They had no money and they had no way to pay rent. They were finding an apartment and then getting kicked out of the apartment for inability to pay.
The couple find themselves literally on the street.
Please, I feel ill. Can you please?
Well, it's not my fault you feel ill.
Open a freaking window.
No!
They were living in David's car. They were fighting all the time. It was just a very stressful situation.
It's bad enough they have nowhere to live. Tammy also starts to feel sick, and she thinks she knows why.
They were confronted with the harsh reality of what any young couple does eventually face when they're married and pregnant. You have to have a job and you have to have a place to live.
Do you see what this is?
Yes.
What are we supposed to do about this?
We're gonna be okay.
Tammy lays down the law. She tells David there will have to be some changes.
How can we pay for a baby?
The ultimatum came when she had told him, you're gonna have to get a job now because we can't live and raise a baby in a car. At that point, she told me he got very aggravated.
Tammy calls her mother for help.
Hello?
Her mother hasn't changed her mind about David and his ability to provide for Tammy.
Oh, I'm pregnant, and it's David's, and I don't know what to do.
Just come on home. You both.
But with a grandchild on the way, she decides to do what she can to help.
They told her that she could come back and even invited David to come back with them to live in their home, that they would help them get a fresh start. They were on a dead-end street where they were at. At that point, he was willing to accept that offer.
The couple has a chance for a new beginning, but David has a secret that could wreck everything.
He got into a relationship with another woman.
I don't believe Tammy knew about me.
Newlyweds Tammy Ellis and David Gatlin are ready to accept help and move back to Pearl with Tammy's parents. With Tammy pregnant and David unemployed, they need all the help they can get. Before the drive back to Mississippi, Tammy's mother invites her and David for lunch. But David soon loses his appetite.
At the restaurant, Tammy's mother started laying down the law.
I just have a couple of things I want to say to you. You gotta get yourself a job, and you gotta stop drinking.
And telling them what the rules were gonna be when they got back and how things were gonna be. And David, being the hothead that he was at the time, didn't take kindly to that and got upset and walked out of the restaurant. His temper got to him and his pride got to him. And so He left.
So what did I tell you?
I don't think anybody realized at that point that when David walked out of the restaurant that he was going to be gone for good.
He's hitting the road running.
Only 10 months after they eloped to Georgia, David abandons Tammy.
The fact that David would storm out in the restaurant and never to return again fits the profile of what we're seeing about David. He walks out of jobs. He's from house to house to house. So of course he would just walk away from the woman that he impregnated and said that he loved.
This is a guy who we know is not big on commitment, is not big on having other people depend on him. And here he's got a child on the way, which suggests to me he's looking for an escape hatch from responsibility, and he got it.
How you doing, Tammy?
Good morning.
Sweetie.
Back in Mississippi, Tammy's parents do everything they can to help their daughter prepare for motherhood.
Her parents were very supportive of her. They were good people. They were there for her. They did everything they could to help her pregnancy, get her back in college so she could have her education.
David is still on Tammy's mind when she happens to meet Vicki Gatlin, a friend of a friend. And she learns something shocking.
Tammy, I've got something to tell you.
What do you mean?
I'm David's ex-wife.
What?
David has a hidden past.
What do you mean?
We got married when he was in the National Guard.
David had cheated on his first wife, Vicki, then abandoned her when she got pregnant.
I was pregnant with our son.
I can't believe that.
And it was just the same old thing with David. One minute he'd be around and want me. The next minute he'd be with somebody else, and I was kind of used to it by that point, and realizing that it was always going to be that way.
And now Tammy's having the same experience.
She was kindred spirit, going through the same thing that I'd been through. I understood what she was going through. She's been abandoned, and she didn't like it. She didn't like how it felt. So she was going to get out of it.
Tammy realizes that David has a history of failed relationships and that she is only the latest.
Hello?
I'm filing for a divorce, David.
No, we can't divorce.
She tells David their marriage is over. He won't hear of it. He wants her back in Georgia.
There's no way you can do this.
Oh, there is not a chance in hell that I am coming back.
But when Tammy goes to see a lawyer, she gets a nasty surprise.
Law in Mississippi at that time said something to the effect that if you were pregnant, you couldn't get a divorce until after the child was born.
She has to stay married to David for at least 5 more months. Meanwhile, Tammy finds some support from an old friend, Randy Walker.
I was living in Meridian back with my parents. My mom and dad, her mom and dad were good friends, and there was a conversation between them somehow, and in that conversation, they mentioned that Tammy was back at home.
Randy and Tammy haven't seen each other since they were kids. They decide to rekindle an old friendship.
Tammy looked very pregnant. She was very large. She was very pretty. She had a glow about her. It was just like we picked up, as best friends, like we left off.
Randy's just the friend that Tammy needs in her life right now. Someone who knows what it's like to deal with a failed marriage.
We had a lot in common just from going through the divorce, what I had just gone through and what I knew she was fixing to go through. It definitely seemed like we were not boyfriend and girlfriend at that point, but you could tell that we were probably headed. You can kind of see what's coming a little bit ahead. Things were good between us. We never fought. We never had a crossword.
They would go eat and go shopping, and they just kind of got closer and closer.
I could see Tammy as being somebody that I might have been interested in marrying later on.
Tammy's reconnection with Randy, who is a solid and stable guy from her past, is about the best thing that she could have hoped for. She's been in such an unstable lifestyle for so long. To be able to have someone she can rely on to talk to and have companionship from and have him be a male, I think is terrific.
when people try to move into new relationships with people of the opposite sex after a divorce has been initiated, all they do is complicate the divorce and their lives unless they wait until the divorce is finished before they try to move on.
I disagree, because Randy is not just a random guy that Tammy picked up on. I think on an emotional and psychological level, this kind of support system can be a great asset for her.
Tammy finally gives birth to a son.
Do you want to hold him?
Yeah.
Randy was with Tammy when the baby was born, and he was so excited. Everybody at the hospital thought it was his baby. He really was crazy about her, and his feelings for her were getting stronger.
I do know that they both cared very deeply for each other. Randy loved her. Randy loved that baby. He wanted to marry her, adopt that child, and for them to be a family.
Now the baby has been born, Tammy can file for divorce from David.
Immediately after the baby was born, the papers were drawn up and sent to him.
He isn't happy when he gets the summons.
He had gotten a demand letter saying that this was the last letter that they were going to send, that they could proceed with divorce proceedings without his presence.
What?
He knew that he wasn't going to have her anymore, that there was no chance for reconciliation.
No!
David was a very controlling person. And so I think it really angered him, the fact that not only did he lose his wife, but the fact that he lost his wife to his wife's mother, who had been just a constant obstacle to her and you know, to their relationship.
But David isn't through with Tammy just yet. Although he's the one who walked out on the marriage, he can't stand being rejected. It's even worse that a new man is taking his place.
He just couldn't stand it. He just couldn't stand the thought of Randy and Tammy being together. And so he decided that he was going to go and confront him and maybe win Tammy back. Maybe that's his goal, is to get her back and to have a family again, to meet his son.
He picks a special date for a reunion with Tammy.
It was their anniversary weekend from the first time they had met. And so that's one reason he was coming. When he got to Mississippi, that's when he went by our house and he saw a strange vehicle there about 11 o'clock at night. And that vehicle left, and that's when he followed it.
David follows the car to the neighboring suburb of Brandon, Mississippi, to the Overby Trailer Park. The next morning, he sees Tammy's car parked outside the same trailer. What happens next will shock this quiet community and leave residents shaken to the core.
Just one of the most horrific, heart-wrenching things that I had ever seen in my career.
David Gatlin, estranged husband, finds his wife Tammy and their newborn baby at a trailer park in Brandon, Mississippi. Just minutes later, gunshots ring out. Neighbors at the Overby Trailer Park immediately call 911.
Dispatch came across the radio and said that she had received a 911 call about someone being shot.
Detective David Ruth is the first police officer to respond.
As we were approaching the mobile home, the first thing I detected was some blood spatters on the steps and the front porch of it. And then I saw some on the front door. It was a blood smear. So I knew at that time that there was something, you know, bad wrong on the inside. There was a radio playing really loud. Adrenaline was pumping.
Tammy Ellis is dead. She has been shot in the head.
Just a horrific sight. Blood was everywhere. I couldn't figure out how to turn the radio off. I just smashed the radio so I could try to start thinking more clearly. I knew the victim on the bed had been shot. That was really clear. I caught something out of the corner of my eye. And when I focused on it, it was just one of the most horrific, heart-wrenching things that I had ever seen in my career. And it was a small infant child laying there covered in blood. So I immediately had picked it up and was checking it. It seemed like time stood still at that point. I feared the worst. I feared that the child had been shot as well.
Thankfully, the 7-week-old infant appears completely unharmed.
I couldn't find anything, any signs of injury.
Then they hear something in the next room. Cautiously, the police investigate, knowing the killer might still be in the trailer.
First thought that came to mind was possibly a murder-suicide. And that's when we encountered a male subject on the bed, and he was also covered in blood.
It's Randy Walker. Just like Tammy, he's been shot in the head.
For the murder.
Police don't have to wait long to find the shooter. David Gatlin turns himself in later that day.
Everyone started yelling and it...
He tells police he is responsible for the shooting of two people in the trailer that morning. His estranged wife, Tammy, and her friend, Randy Walker.
Tammy Ellis.
First impression of David Gatlin was just a young man, clean cut.
Just
one that you wouldn't think would be involved in something like this.
According to David, he entered the trailer that morning looking for his wife.
He heard Tammy in the back and he went back there. He had caught his wife in bed with somebody else, with another man.
What's wrong? Who is that?
What are you doing?
David confronts Tammy, and the situation quickly spins out of control.
He became enraged to think of the fact that his wife was out in Mississippi with their baby in a relationship with another man.
We're still married. You're still my wife.
No.
Yes, you are.
He was asking questions. They were arguing. And he said he became really angry at her because she had told the male that she was divorced.
I'm not coming with you, David.
Really?
Oh, my
really?
God. Why do you have a gun?
At that point, she actually raised the child up as if to maybe shield herself.
Put the baby down!
And he just lost it. He said Randy lunged at him and he just pointed and shot. And Randy fell backwards. And he said he walked over to where Randy was. And Randy was still alive. And he said as he was looking at him, he was contemplating shooting him again, but then Randy's eyes closed.
The only person left unharmed is the baby. David was seeing his son for the first time.
He said that he took the child from his mother's arms and put it on the floor. The reason he didn't take his child is because he was unsure of what he was going to do. He was unsure of any confrontation with the police, if there were going to be a shootout or anything.
David must now reckon with what he did and why.
It looks more to me like David felt sort of personally insulted by the fact that she would sort of dare to go on with another person before he had said that he was done with her, almost as if his property had been taken from him by another man. That's how a lot of sociopathic people see human beings, as their property.
Our society as a whole tends to be more forgiving of people that they view who have done things in the heat of passion because they think that they saw red, that they couldn't control themselves. So in shorthand, they don't usually see a person who kills in passion as a killer. They see them as a person who's reacted to something upsetting.
David knows there's a possibility that the Mississippi jury will accept his defense.
If you went through a jury trial and the jurors believed it was truly a crime of passion, then you may not be convicted. They may find you not guilty.
But at the preliminary hearing, David gets a shock. He thinks he left no witnesses to the killing. He's wrong.
The judge asked if there were any witnesses that were going to be providing evidence in the courtroom. Of course, I was a witness. I had to raise my hand. And when I raised my hand and stood up, I'll never forget, David looked over his shoulder, and his eyes were big as plates. You know, it was very evident that he was surprised to see me.
David saw Randy, and that's the first time he had saw Randy since he shot him. And just the look on his face was unbelievable. Pretty much like he'd seen a ghost. He realized the man that he shot and left for dead was still living and breathing and was going to testify against him, because Randy was the only eyewitness that we had in this murder case.
David Gatlin's defense insists he acted in the heat of the moment, but Randy has a very different account.
Tammy and I were in the bedroom of my trailer, getting ready to go to the company picnic, when we heard
we were just going to make almost a family day out of it. She got there a little bit earlier than I thought she was going to. I hadn't gotten dressed yet.
Hey, Tammy. Yep. Which shirt do you think?
That one.
Suddenly, there's a knock on the door.
Are you expecting someone?
No.
And immediately when I opened the door, I knew something was terribly wrong, because it's July the 2nd in Mississippi, which is, one of the hottest months there is. It was probably 95 degrees already outside, and here stood this guy in a black leather coat.
Don't say anything, just back up.
Randy is shocked to find himself suddenly staring into the business end of a pistol.
I thought he was fixing to rob me. And I thought, boy, this guy has picked the wrong place to rob. We don't have nothing. The TV that we had was a black and white TV sitting on a TV stand. He ain't getting anything. I walked up to the door of the bedroom where Tammy's sitting on the bed. She's holding the baby.
Tammy, don't scream.
Why would I scream?
And so I took a step forward.
Oh my God, David!
And a step to the left.
David.
So she could see this guy behind
me. Shut up! Put the baby down!
No!
Put him down!
Tammy's words are burned in my brain. She said, "Oh my God, David, what are you doing here?" And it was like a ton of bricks fell off the 10-story building on top of me. I knew exactly what was fixing to happen.
David, okay. What are you doing?
Turn on the radio.
David orders Randy to turn up the radio to mask the sound of their voices.
Shut up.
What are you doing?
As Randy watches helplessly, David and Tammy argue over whether she should go back to Georgia with him.
I do remember at some point there was something said to the effect of, if I can't have you, nobody's going to have you.
David turns to Randy and tells him to do something that makes his blood run cold.
Take off your pants.
Don't do it.
Shut up.
David wants to make it look like Randy and Tammy were having sex.
He told me to get up and get undressed. I did take off my pants, and I did sit back down on the edge of the bed.
Okay. I want you to go.
Next, David orders him to fetch the bag he left at the entrance.
He stepped away from the door to allow me to pass him and had the gun trained on me the whole time I walked down the hallway there. And the bag literally on the sill of the door.
It's Randy's one chance to escape.
I think all that went through my mind in about a second. I don't have to go back into that room. I don't have to be shot that morning. I can go get help. I don't have to be there. And I made the decision to turn around and go back to that bedroom where I knew about 99%, what the outcome was going to be.
Sit down.
Please.
Sit down.
But there was just no way I could leave Tammy and that baby in there with absolutely no help.
Randy is now facing a certain death.
I remember seeing the end of the barrel and thinking this thing is a cannon.
Randy Walker is blowing holes in David Gatlin's claim that he killed his wife and her lover in a fit of passion. Randy refuses to flee the trailer when he has the chance and returns to try and help Tammy. When Randy returns to the bedroom, David is trying to get Tammy to put down the baby.
Put the baby down!
No!
Put the baby down!
But she refuses and talks back to him, defiant.
David Gatlin, if you can shoot me and me holding your son, then shoot me!
David pulls a pack of firecrackers from the bag, hoping to cover up the sound of what he does next.
I just remember seeing the flame and the sparkle.
Randy realizes to his horror that he's next.
No, 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 no!
I remember seeing the end of the barrel and thinking this thing is a cannon. the last thing that went through my mind was who was going to call my mama, you know?
You were just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
David fires a .380 round at point-blank range directly at Randy's head. As the killer walks away from the bloodbath, he is convinced both Tammy and Randy are dead. He is wrong.
The first thing that I remember when I woke up, I was cold. I got up and my hearing was very muffled. It was almost as if I was wearing headphones or something. I didn't know if I had been out 2 minutes or 2 days or 5 minutes. You know, I didn't know what the time frame was. I didn't know where David was.
Incredibly, the bullet has passed clean through his jaw without touching his brain. But Tammy is dead, and her baby needs help.
I put my hands all over the baby to make sure that he was breathing and I could feel his heartbeat and, you know, that kind of thing. And when I was satisfied that the baby was good, I said, well, I need to call 911. I put on my pants. In my bedroom was a phone, but it had been yanked out of the wall. He just obviously had jerked it out of the wall. I remembered that we had just had one put in. It had also been yanked out of the socket, but it had a long line on it. So I sit there in the floor and bit the wires off of my teeth and stripped them and kept putting wires together until I could get a dial tone. At that point, I could hear the 911 operator, very low and faint.
911, what's your emergency?
The injury has left him partly deaf and barely able to speak.
I knew I was having trouble verbalizing.
I've been shot.
Randy stays on the line until the police arrive. But they don't know the real killer has already fled.
Get down on the floor!
They think Randy is the shooter. But Detective Ruth quickly realizes his mistake.
I've been shot.
Who shot you?
She shot me.
First he said, she shot me. That immediately didn't make any sense.
It was very frustrating. I was trying to get out information, but my mouth wouldn't work.
David shot me.
Randy is rushed to the hospital in critical condition.
When I first saw him, he was swelled really bad. He was on a ventilator. He just looked like death warmed over. It was hard to believe that he would be okay.
Randy makes a remarkable recovery. He is well enough to testify at the preliminary hearing only 3 weeks after the shooting.
And then he pulled some fireworks out of the bag and lit them.
With Randy's explosive testimony, David's crime of passion defense falls to pieces. It becomes obvious the killing of Tammy was coldly planned and executed.
He shot Tammy in the head.
David claimed he bought a gun because he was thinking about suicide. The police and prosecution believe otherwise.
Well, I mean, the evidence is clear where the premeditation began in Macon, Georgia, with the purchase of the gun that was later proved out to be the murder weapon, the driving to Mississippi, the stalking of Tammy for a day and a half, clearly shows premeditation.
He intended to commit a crime. He intended to commit the crime of murder.
I think David's murder of Tammy and attempted murder of Randy illustrate in a chilling way the core paradox of the sociopath, and it's this. I can do whatever I want to you, but if you do something to me that I think is wrong or hurtful or insulting or unjustified, it's a death penalty offense.
David doesn't only plan a killing, he also plans a cover-up. That it tells me that the depth of his psychological depravity is very high. Had Tammy known these things, had known what a troubled and violent past that David had, that she might still be alive today.
If a jury convicts him of Tammy's murder, David could face the death penalty. Instead, he decides to plead guilty in a deal to avoid capital punishment. He is sentenced to life plus 30 years.
When someone receives a sentence as stiff as David, he's expected to live the rest of his life in that prison until he dies.
The general consensus was we wanted this guy in forever, where he could not get out.
But the story doesn't end there. After 15 years in prison, David Gatlin is accepted in a special program that allows him to work at the governor's mansion in Jackson, Mississippi. Everyone connected with the case is livid.
I was upset. I actually made calls to the governor's mansion. I tried to intervene.
When Governor Haley Barbour leaves office, he causes further outrage by granting a pardon to 248 convicts, including David Gatlin.
We expect the penal system to keep these people who we convict locked up and away from our law-abiding citizens. And 248 of them got out that day.
The pardon leaves David Gatlin a free man after serving only 17 years in prison. With his criminal record expunged, he can start a new life.
You're always wondering if somebody that you had put away for prison for a long time is sitting there looking at you. You know, you have to protect yourself. More importantly, you have to protect your family that's with you, because they've killed once, they don't care about that. They'll kill again.
Whether or not David Gatlin is still dangerous, my thought is he's dangerous to me and my family.
For friends and loved ones, Tammy still remains constantly in their thoughts.
I've lived all these years with deep down pain because I couldn't save her. She deserved to be saved, and I couldn't do it. I wasn't there.
She was radiant. She was glowing. Tammy was an awesomely beautiful woman, inside and out.